This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Excited to be with you here during the noon hour. Thanks for joining us. As always, Brent and Dave are here to bring you the local talk here in the Mid-Valley.
Yes, sir.
Things of importance, people of importance, ideas and initiatives, all sorts of those great things happening that you want to be aware of. And I'd like to think that the Newsmaker audience is more aware, more educated, and hopefully more motivated than the rest of the populace, right?
I would hope so. They're better informed.
Better informed. Here we go. Hopefully we're a little bit entertaining along the way. So thanks for joining us.
That was entertaining.
Just a little bit.
Joining us here in the studio. We've missed him for a bit. Back in studio to talk to us about what's going on in Salem is the mayor, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Chuck Bennett. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to see you guys.
Yeah,
nice to have you
too, sir.
Did you have good holidays?
Great. You?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Really, really nice break.
A lot of things happening in Salem.
There are. There always are.
Wow. I think so many things. And they seem to change every week to week as well sometimes, especially when it comes to where are people going to sleep and, you know, which block is going to be impacted by the homeless. And I noticed on the way in, and I promised you to start out with something happy. The two of us both saw something happy today.
Mm-hmm.
I drove by and I saw Union Gospel Mission. They're pushing dirt around. Of course, that's broken ground. We knew that. But it's right across the street from the police facility, public safety building, I like to call it, which looks outstanding.
Yeah, it really is looking good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then right across the street, they're smoothing out the dirt and preparing that for Union Gospel Mission's move to a new facility, which is going to open up even more opportunities for downtown.
It's about 140 additional shelter beds, plus enlarging their recovery or wing where folks come to really clean up and really change their lives. It's a tremendous program UGM runs. It's really going to be a game changer in terms of our dealing with folks with a range of issues, including lack of housing.
So, and you came from somewhere fun.
Ohio?
No. I said fun.
Okay.
No, I was referencing the Salem Hospital.
I did this morning, yes. Salem Hospital was today breaking ground on their new tower. It's going to be essentially a new hospital, another piece of the hospital, 140 beds, maybe as many as 150 beds added. That hospital is growing so rapidly, and the reason is the community is growing so rapidly, and they're just having a heck of a time keeping up with the growth and providing the kind of services. I just have to do a shout out for Cheryl Wolf, the CEO, Kathy Keene, the chair of the board of the hospital board. They have been just visionary and really working hard to keep up with the demand in this community. And it is going. We're aging and we're adding population.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Well, I know
I'm getting younger by the day.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm going the other way. I'm headed for the ground, but it's really a tremendous project. Remember, the hospital also is our largest private employer in the community. It's got a culture of compassion and excellence that I think we can be really proud of. It's one of the outstanding hospitals in the country, one of the best cardiac units in the country. The busiest emergency room between Vancouver, B.C. and Los Angeles going on here. Well, it is incredible. And they are meeting that need and are preparing now. This new building will be ready, I believe, in the summer or late spring of 2022. So it's about a two-year building project. It's a tower. And then they'll begin working, I think, on their next big project there. It's just we're going to be constantly at work in at that hospital getting it enlarged. And I'll tell you, just as mayor, it's one of the issues that comes up when businesses contact me and talk with me. How is your workforce? How is your education system? And how is your healthcare system? And that is, and they'll be in different orders. And often, how's your healthcare system can come come before the other two questions. And I can, with all honesty, say that healthcare system is just quite simply one of the best on the West Coast. And really, I think we can all be proud of it and realize how lucky we are.
You know, Mayor Bennett, I'm glad you brought that up because it's something I've learned over the years, had to be taught a little bit, but how important it is for people and institutions that want to invest here, be they make their home here or bring jobs to the area or expand here, that it's important that we have a good education system.
Oh, yeah.
That the school district is important, that the business community and the community in general, we support, you know, the community college, the Santum Kaiser schools, and it's quality of life issues that are important. It's never, ever just dollars and cents.
No. In fact, those kinds of issues rarely come up in discussion with prospective businesses. You know, what's your tax rate? What's your, you know, those kinds of things. You tend to think of how much will it cost me to get my permits, all that. What they want to know is that they'll be able to get their permits in a timely manner. They, if they're going to build a building, it'll happen efficiently. And in fact, CEO Wolf this morning talking about the hospital talked about how well it has worked with the city of Salem to get the permits in place, to get the kinds of inspections needed, and to really be able to move this thing right along. It was a really good shout out, I think, to the city staff and the city on that particular area. But yeah, it's about education, it's about healthcare, and it's about the workforce.
And the workforce.
Yeah.
Which is why, and we've talked about it at different shows, but Chemeketa Community College does a nice job. They partner, going back to the Collaboration City, right? Mm-hmm. They partner with SEDCOR, the Economic Development Corporation, and partner with Job Corps and things like that to make sure that if someone's coming and they need a certain skill set, then they'll train them up.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that it should be encouraging to people, and I hate doing it this way, but I think it sort of tells you that if you're spending tax dollars wisely, because those actually tend to be the kinds of programs that are funded by us as a community through our taxes, you're really building a better community. I think sometimes folks aren't always aware of how when tax dollars are spent correctly and they end up with good programs that really accomplish something, it really continues to pay off in the quality of the community, the growth of the community, the availability of jobs, the basic economy of the community. So it makes you, this is the kind of discussion I think sometimes we just don't have often enough to kind of talk about how well we actually are doing.
One of the measures they say when people are looking at a community for investment, be it commercial airline service or perhaps a new employer and a new industry, is how many cranes are in the sky.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And that's kind of only semi tongue in cheek, right? But it's nice to have a crane downtown.
We got a couple of them now. We got the Y is getting ready, I think, to put up. It's been using high, fairly tall equipment. I think they'll be heading for a crane.
And then the hospital, of course, is going to be what, 6 floors?
The hotel. Oh,
8 floors?
Gosh, at least.
Yeah.
Couple of cranes there.
Yeah, it's going to be a really spectacular project to watch built. Got the hotel, and then we'll have the new apartment house down at the old McMahon site, and then the hotel going in kind of kitty corner from the convention center. That'll be another crane.
Yeah, I
think we're going to start looking like the big city here.
Yeah, let's hope that does break ground this year.
Right?
Which one's that?
Right there across from the convention, the new hotel.
I think it's gonna.
All right.
It would be nice with a lot of things in progress. Let's take our first break. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. We'll come back and talk about other things that happened on the agenda and things happening around the area. Stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back, everyone. Brent DeHart here with Mayor Chuck Bennett and Dave Bourne. And
Thank you. We're talking about
things happening here.
You're going to forget me there for a minute.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that.
Happening in the city.
Yes,
no.
He would.
Would he really?
Yes, he's done it before.
Geez. Who's that guy?
Who's that guy? The guy across from me, huh?
Yeah. So we're talking about all the interesting things happening in the city of Salem, growth here and there and expansion. Of course, you've heard us talk about the commercial air service recruitment. And because of that, I've got some statistics I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
Because they probably don't routinely come in front of you, but this was something that the recruitment consultant put together to show, hey, how's this region going?
Yeah.
Right? So this is in a, you know, it's kind of the Salem MSA, the regional area, Salem-Keizer included. Mm-hmm. But when you look at growth rate from the year 2000 to 2017 was the block of, it was 8.8%.
Wow.
In population growth. Now, it's not runaway by any means. Bend, at the same time, for reference, grew at 18.5% as opposed to 8. However, Salem's growing faster than Medford, Eugene, Santa Barbara, Anchorage, San Luis Obispo, Santa Rosa, and Yakima.
Wow.
So when you look at communities that are medium-sized communities on the West Coast, it's got a very healthy growth rate in that regard. So I got one more here. It had to do with the economy. So the economic growth, actually, get just in a five-year period, 2012 to 2017.
Okay.
So for those 5 years, what happened to economic growth? Salem posted 36%. Above Salem on the list is Reno and Bend.
Wow.
Below Salem, not growing as fast as the Salem economy, is Santa Rosa, right? Wine country.
Yeah.
Medford, beautiful southern Oregon, one of the favorites of California retirees. San Luis Obispo, beautiful area. Eugene.
Yeah.
So we're much faster than Eugene. They're 22 to our 36% on that five-year period.
In a way, I'm not surprised. We have really had a focus on our economic development. We've really, I think, over the past, 15 years, really done a remarkable job bringing new business, new jobs, enlarging existing businesses, assisting the entrepreneurial development of all kinds of economic activity here. Plus, we are a city that is really attracting retirees who come with a reasonable, substantial amount of income available to them. It isn't just that sometimes people think you're living just on Social Security or just on an IRA. It's folks coming in with enough money to really buy a home and engage in the local economy pretty substantially. And we are really growing. We're aging, actually, in this city. We're getting older.
You keep saying that.
I know. That's because I'm getting older. You think that, don't you? An old guy with the gray hair and a beard must be
well, the city, if you're
wishing
not,
he was with other older people. Huh?
If the listener's not familiar, Salem outsourced its economic development many years ago to an organization that eventually became SEDCOR, Strategic Economic Development Corporation, they do this work for a three-county area, but they are here in Salem. And obviously, the money that Salem would have spent on economic development, part of that goes to support SEDCOR. And then I know, because not everyone's looking at the statistics all those times, like, is that money well spent?
Yes.
Is that money, do you get a return on your investment? And I think the answer is yes.
Well, I think we've done through SEDCOR, as well as having, I think, one of the finest economic development departments. It's not a big department in Salem. It works in cooperation with SEDCOR, but our urban development department, and particularly Annie Gorski and our director, Kristen Rutherford, are just outstanding in this field. We've been very, very fortunate in Salem to have attracted people who are real interested in that particular aspect of government activity, and are good at it.
I think people would be surprised. I hate to throw too many statistics over the radio. Sometimes it doesn't translate if people don't have the visual aid. But when it comes to cities we're quite familiar with, our gross metro product, so how much are communities generating, right, in product, in the economy, kind of divided by how many people are here, we are twice that of Medford.
Yeah.
We're twice that of Medford. And we're just a little bit better than Eugene, a little bit better than San Luis Obispo. But those are the categories we're in. We're falling short of a bigger community like Spokane. But still, Salem, in these regards, is doing pretty well.
Particularly when you're in the shadow of Portland. I'm real proud of where we're going. And you consider we're also a government town. I think people like to think of us just as a government town. We really are much more, so much richer than that in our economy. It is our largest employer. And then we have a whole bunch of things going on in this community. And I think whenever anyone looks at our economic base, our industrial base, our manufacturing base, our commercial base, they're surprised at the diversity of products made and sold here. It's pretty interesting.
There is there's a lot of sleepy secrets in this region.
Sometimes yeah.
I'll get on a tour of some sort, either through SEDCOR or the Chamber of Commerce or something. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know these people did this.
Right? Yeah.
I didn't know they existed. Yeah. And they make this here. And they're selling to the U.S. Army or they're selling overseas.
Yep.
And some really cool products here in the Mid-Valley. I think as soon as you get out of city limits, I think our tendency is to think agricultural.
Yeah. Well,
for good reason.
Because there's lots of agriculture here, too.
Ag Banquet, by the way, is this week.
Friday
night. Yep. Speaker Jim Bernow. That'll be interesting.
Great. Now, there's a genuine entrepreneur.
Right.
Jim. I knew Jim back in the early 80s when he was talking about, I think I'll start up a vineyard. He has Willamette Valley Vineyard with shareholders, and we'll put in your kind of... Yeah, okay. Jim was a lobbyist over at
Smart
the
man.
Capitol.
Yes, Smart man. Smart. We have 5 minutes left, and I hate to do this to you, Mayor, but I got to find out what's going on with the homeless issue.
Yeah.
It's a big top of mind, downtown. What's going on?
The top of everyone's list. The city council last night approved stepping up on a couple of sort of sheltering fronts, looking for ways to shelter people who are currently unsheltered. One is they're going to be considering probably next Monday a shelter at Pringle Hall in the Pringle Park over by the hospital.
Okay.
That building is one the city owns, so it's readily available. The city has been, along with its partners in the nonprofit community, particularly Arches, have been out looking at every building they can find in town, looking for a building that can be leased for a shelter. They are looking at that daily. We are looking at other buildings for other purposes related to this issue. And we are going to probably again next Monday be approving a program that allows people to use their cars as shelters at certain locations. In many cases, it'll probably be church parking lots where you'd be allowed to have six cars or maybe an RV park. They'll have to have garbage and sanitary facilities, that to occur.
Does the city have to approve that? If it's private,
I believe so. Yeah, you really can't bring those in. You can't set up that kind of camp without a permit from the city or some sort of conditional use. We're going to be using our emergency powers to facilitate this stuff occurring quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Really, not having to go through a complicated zoning process. There'll be a short duration. Generally, I think March 30th is our target date, and we're going to continue looking. I will tell you, I'm not convinced. This is just me, the mayor, talking,
right,
that the things we're looking at will ultimately relieve some of the stuff we're seeing downtown right now.
Only those that have, like, cars or access to an RV.
Well, or are those, willing to go into shelter.
And those that want to go inside. But what do you do with the people that Brent and I have talked about numerously that don't want help? They just want to camp outside all the time.
Well, there's a batch of things going on there. I don't think it's totally they don't want help. It's sometimes they've just been promised help and haven't gotten it. It's a mix. It's a mix of situations.
Trust issues, probably.
Yeah, a lot of trust issues involved there. But we will be, I think, looking at a sit-lie ordinance that says you cannot sit or sleep on city streets at some point in the future if we continue to see the kind of situation we have seen on over by Rite Aid, down by the Salem Center and the Nordstrom building. We just can't abide that downtown. It got to be unsanitary. That had to be cleaned up. Cost about a little over $5,000 to hire really a kind of little hazmat crew to come in and clean that thing up.
The downtown was just coming back too.
Oh, it is still coming back.
But I've had people tell me, Mayor, in the last week.
Oh yeah.
They don't like to go downtown right now.
No, I get emails from them too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. And I've probably received a dozen emails saying I will never go back to your downtown. I've gotten those pretty steadily over the years because of parking tickets, it's not like I don't get the threat of I will never use your downtown again over and then pick your poison here. This one, I think people are serious. I think there is a certain level of concern in terms of people's safety and health. We are working on that. We will continue to work on it. The council has been very reluctant to do some of the enforcement mechanism recommended by the police and city manager. I think as time has passed, they're becoming increasingly understanding of why their professional staff has made the recommendations they have.
Yeah.
So I expect we'll be revisiting issues over the next few months to try to deal with this. The one they haven't done yet is organized camping. There's a little group on the city council that would like to have a camp in West Salem or out in Sunny Slope or some other area just allow people to camp with some supervision. That's not been sold yet to the full city council. It is a very, very difficult and expensive program to try to set up.
All right.
Indeed. So some of those things backfire, and maybe you'll end up revisiting the sit lie ordinance if things don't get better.
Okay.
All right. We got to take a break. We have another guest coming in on one of Dave Bourne's favorite topics. So we're going to let the mayor go off and help run the city.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you for being here. Hopefully we'll see you next week. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. We'll be right back.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. Welcome back to Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. It was nice to have Mayor Bennett in here in the studio to talk to us about what's going on. There's so much more on the agenda, too.
Oh, yeah.
Things that we probably could have spent a couple hours since we're now diving headfirst into 2020. But we've got a completely different topic coming
Absolutely.
Up, having to do with things happening this week. And we've got a special guest on the phone, Justin Ashley. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. So you are an NHRA top fuel guy.
Yeah. Explain to us what that is, Justin.
Sure. So I'm an NHRA top fuel dragster driver, and basically the best way to put it is we go 0 to 330 plus miles per hour in under 4 seconds. So we race coast to coast anywhere from all the way on the East Coast and let's say New Hampshire to the West Coast out in California. So my team and I will be racing 12 events this season, and we'll be competing and looking forward to it.
Wow. So who's your major sponsor, first of all?
Our major sponsor is Strutmasters.
Nice.
Strutmasters.com and Auto Shocker as well.
Nice. So in that 331 miles per hour jaunt, is that a quarter mile?
It's actually 1,000 feet. They used to race a quarter mile, and there are still some categories that race a quarter mile, but they've moved hours back for safety reasons to 1,000 feet.
Wow, that's pretty quick. What's the G's on that?
It's about 6 G's when you take off and then another 6 G's when you pull the chute. So
can you
definitely
imagine?
Definitely feel it. It catches your attention pretty quickly.
Wow, my mouth is wide open. That's unbelievable.
So I'm thinking, don't need caffeine then?
Not quite. I think that's pretty much my my caffeine jolt right there.
Nice. Brent's not really a car guy. I grew up watching drag racing with my dad. Whenever it's on any of the sports channels, he'll be perusing through there and we'll stop and watch them. And it's just amazing to me how you can keep control of that dragster for that quick of a time.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's got to be quite the jolt for you. And when did you start, and how old are you now?
So I'm 25 now. My father raced for many years, so I spent a lot of time at the racetrack growing up. So I really started actually driving when I was about 11 years old. I drove something called a junior dragster, which is basically, a youth league, just like Little League would be to baseball.
Right.
Junior dragsters are out of drag racing. So I started at that age and then continually worked my way up through the categories until I got to the top field dragster category, which I'm racing in now. And, it definitely takes a particular kind of skill set because these cars are like none other, 10,000 plus horsepower and such fast acceleration and speed.
10,000 horsepower, that's probably more than my little Chevy truck, right?
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. My Camaro has 445.
Yeah. Oh,
10,000. That's a lot. That is a lot.
But not as much as yours.
Not as much, but it is still a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So where can people in the area see this activity? Where can they see you compete? Where can they see the cars?
Well, you got a big event coming up. It's this weekend in Albany.
I do.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
I do. So I'm excited. I've actually never been to the Albany area. I'm going to be there for the Winter Rod and Speed Show, which will be this weekend, Friday and Saturday, which is January 17th to the 18th. And it's going to be at the Linn County Fair and Expo Center. And we're going to have over 100 hot rods, street rods, race cars, custom trucks, all different kinds of cool cars and things for anyone who's interested in that type of thing. And I'll be there signing autographs. We'll have famed automotive artist Kenny Youngblood will be there as well. And I think the cool part about this show is it's the perfect size. It's really good for everyone, kids and adults, and it's very welcoming. There'll be music, dancing. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of new people there and seeing all the cool kinds of cars that there are and learning more about the Albany area.
Do we have any opportunity to see anybody race this weekend, or is this just a showcase?
This weekend is just a showcase for the cars. We'll be starting our race season the first weekend in February. We'll be in Pomona, California, but this weekend is specifically dedicated to the show.
I can't imagine racing outside this time of year.
Yeah, right.
It'd be a little problematic. We're talking to Justin Ashley. NHRA is National Hot Rod Association. You can come see all of these things in Albany this weekend. I'm in a frame of mind in the school of life now that you should do things you've never done before. So you might get some hot rod aficionados and some really car fans and this and that, but I think it would encourage people to go down if you've never seen one of these things up close.
Yeah.
That would be a really cool experience to see the hot rods and see what goes into making them. Who makes an engine for a drag racer?
There's all different types of people, different businesses that make them. We run our stuff and Alan Johnson Racing. He makes a lot of our engines for us, but there's a few different people in the industry. But like you said, there's, depending on the car and the industry, you can really get an in-depth behind-the-scenes look at kind of what goes on.
Yeah. Justin, I watched a race last weekend on TV. I don't know when it was or where it was, but do you guys rebuild your engine after each run like these guys were?
Yeah, we pretty much do. It's actually pretty wild. The turnaround times between passes that we make can be so short. Sometimes we only have about 40 minutes to take the whole car apart and put it back together. So we have 8 to 10 guys on our team who all participate in doing so. Just like any other team sport, they all have their own jobs and their own roles and responsibilities. So we're able to work together to collectively as a group to get it done. But just the skill set that it takes to be able to do that is pretty amazing, to be able to sit there and watch them work on the car like that.
What needs replaced after a run? It's like you're blown out of the
car. Why are you rebuilding the engine?
Well, just because of all the force that it takes. These cars are so violent, so it does so much damage on each run. Just to give you an example, we go through about each run lasts, you know, the run itself is 3.7 seconds, and we go through about 20 gallons of fuel during that period of time.
Yeah.
So it's very violent, so everything has to kind of come apart and come put new parts and pieces together.
You're talking valve springs, you're talking pistons,
cams,
anything like that?
Talking everything, yep. Pretty much everything? Now it could differ. You may not have to take everything out. You kind of have to see how the car looks after it goes down the track. But for the most part, you're looking at definitely a handful of work, a lot of work.
Yeah, definitely the push rods and the springs, they take a beating. And the valves, those take a beating as well. Wow, that's just crazy.
I'm trying to imagine going 0 to 330 miles an hour in a few seconds. And I just think, well, does that make me an astronaut? You know, right? What kind of thrust?
Close to it, right?
Yeah, close to it. I think we could strap you in with Justin, and he would take you down the track.
Justin, what is...
I'm in. You guys come to the track. We'll take you on a trip down the track.
There you go.
That would be so awesome.
See, Brad?
What's the margin of a victory in a typically contested race? You're saying it takes, 3.7 seconds, and obviously no one's winning by 1 second. Is it a hundredth of a second, a handful of hundredths? I mean...
Yeah, it's a great question. It's thousands of seconds. It really comes down to, it's so close, the whole race is only 3.7 seconds, so generally someone doesn't win by a second or 2 seconds. You're talking about hundreds or thousands of seconds. It's really a very, very small margin, so every little thing matters.
I appreciate you tolerating my ignorance, so I'm going to ask some more some more dumb questions. Like, in that span, do you have to shift gears?
That's actually a great question. I get that question all the time. We don't. Actually, there is a clutch in the car, but we don't shift gears. Everything's direct drive, and it's just everything kind of happens too quick to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
I imagine. Yeah, because then you would have...
Do you pop the clutch at the start? Is that right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. So he pops the clutch to start and mashes the gas pedal to the floor and goes as fast as the engine will take him for 3.7 seconds. Yeah, pretty much.
What kind of fuel's in that thing? You said 20 gallons in less than 4 seconds.
Premium, right?
Yeah, it's on. It actually runs on nitromethane, so it runs up to 90% nitromethane and 10% on alcohol.
So almost 100%.
Wow! Does that mean you're like a green fuel?
I don't know about green fuel.
No. Definitely not.
Tell us a little bit about the hours this weekend. When should people be down? Obviously, Linn County Fairgrounds, right?
Right, in Albany.
Yep. So the hours are actually going to be on Friday night. It'll start. It'll be 6 to 9 p.m. And then on Saturday, it'll be 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we expect a pretty good crowd. And I think one of the really exciting things about this event is part of the proceeds go to the Children's Cancer Association. So I think that that's really awesome. And, any kind of, proceeds that we get will go toward there. And it's an exciting cause to really be a part of and something that's near and dear to my heart and a lot of people involved.
That's awesome. Also, there's a food drive on Friday night.
There is a food drive on Friday night. If anyone wanted to bring canned foods for the food drive, we call it the Friday Night Food Drive. And if you bring a can of food or a non-perishable food item, you can get into the show for just $6.
Wow. Yeah. Normally, it's what, 9 now?
Normally 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Have discounts for military or seniors or kids? Are kids free?
Yep. Kids 8 and under are in for free.
Nice.
Another thing to do when it's pouring out and maybe snowing out.
It might
lightly,
be.
And you want to get the kids out of the house, look at something different. You can grab them, and if they're 8 and under, they don't even have to pay. That'd be a great little family outing this weekend. And when's the best time to catch you there?
I will be there both days, so I'll be there pretty much all hours on Friday 6 to 9 and Saturday 9 to 6. So if you're there, feel free to come by and talk and say hello.
And your car's there?
My car, unfortunately, is not there. I wish it was.
What?
It up to me, it would be there.
What?
I know. I'm coming to hang out. I'll be there. Look at all the other cool cars. But my car, they're working on my car right now in Indianapolis, getting it ready to go.
Wow, in Indianapolis.
That's quite a ways away.
It is.
But
well, I'm from New York, so I'm quite a ways away, too. But looking forward to being there.
Well, it's nice to have you on the West Coast.
Now, Justin, real quick, if you're from New York and you're here on the West Coast, what do you see different on the East or the West Coast? What do you like better? I know you're from the East Coast. I mean, what do you like about the West Coast so far?
The easiest answer to that is the warm weather, when it's warm on the West Coast. Because we get so much snow over here, it's nice to catch a break when I go over there for a while. I had my first In-N-Out Burger experience recently.
Yes.
They don't have really very many of those on the East Coast, so that was definitely another cool experience, a positive from that. But I love the West Coast, especially like the mountainous regions and areas. I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love our area because of the valley and because you're like 45 minutes to an hour from either a mountain to go skiing or the beach. And everything in between. Thing. Yeah.
You're going to be fly fishing, snowboarding, water skiing.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah.
All sorts of things in the same area.
Lakes, rivers, the desert, the beach. The mountains, yeah, it's all
And then
here.
There's the politics, but we'll save that for another interview, Justin. I'm not going to say New York has any fewer problems with that.
Oh, my God, yes.
All right, on the phone with us, Justin Ashley. He's a National Hot Rod Association Top Fuel star, and he's going to be available this weekend.
At the Winter Hot Rod and... I don't know the full name. What is the full name of the show?
Winter Rod and Speed Show.
There you go.
There. Okay, Winter Rod and Speed Show at the Lynn County Fairgrounds at Albany. Tonight is Friday night, 6 to 9 with the food drive, right? And then 9 to 6 on Saturday.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Thanks for joining us. We're going to have to take a break, everybody. I want to thank Justin for calling
in. Thanks, Justin.
And we'll be right back.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Finish up our lunch hour with you with some local event and discussion on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, everyone. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne.
Woohoo!
This is our local talk hour. We're sandwiched in between Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly.
Which is a good place to be.
And I somehow managed to
wrap up
three O'Reilly books in the last month.
Nice.
Somebody gifted me and had not read them. And that was interesting. It was fun. Hey, back to some of the things we're talking about. Earlier in the hour, we had Mayor Chuck Bennett here. We had an opportunity to talk about something off-air that we didn't get to share with you. But
we talk about a lot of things off-air that we never get to on the air.
So what we need is a two-hour Newsmakers every day. Right?
Could
so
happen.
We can just keep doing
you
this.
You never know.
So downtown. Yeah. And the mess that was created, the $5,000 of having a emergency cleanup crew clear out this thing. Statesman Journal called it unintended consequences, or a backfire, actually. Mm-hmm. Is this a backfire? And of course it's a backfire.
Yeah.
All they did is get out of their tents and then camp under the cover, and now they're marching them. So the subtext to this, folks, that the unintended consequences and the seriousness of the consequences comes in that the people who are invested in that Nordstrom's building are bringing through people, potential developers, investors, to build it out into something.
Mm-hmm. Something else.
And you have a block long of...
homeless.
Yeah, homeless and trash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a block long. How are you going to get somebody to say, I'll invest in this. This would be a great place for my... you know, multi-use project, my housing project, my office project, my retail project. This is going to be a great place. Well, is it? Is it? I mean, I don't think that's what TJ Maxx thought when they announced that they were moving out of downtown. And now we have another empty space downtown, when if we had been a bit more protectionist of our downtown core, maybe we didn't lose TJ Maxx.
Another unintended consequence that was brought up to me on the phone. If they approve this camping in the car thing, I know that they say it's in particular areas, but this caller said they're already starting to spread into the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Campers, cars, the garbage is piling up, the debris is piling up, needles are piling up. Unintended consequence, because they weren't prepared for what they said, you know, no sit lie. Then they changed their mind on that. Then they're like, they can't camp here. And it forces them here. And then they spread out after that. It's just, it's
And I think a lot of people,
messy.
We've had people living in their vehicles, you know, for a long time. I think it's more prevalent
than
we realize.
I think that's where most homeless start out, because is in their car.
Right, because they get to move around and into different places, so it's not concentrated in one place.
Right.
And they're talking about potentially commercial owners, so a church potentially, or another place that has an unused parking at night, and mm-hmm. allowing them to do so. Well, at least then they would be in a position to provide them bathroom services, you know, and maybe even monitor, especially if they keep it in smaller scales, that the trash doesn't accumulate and so forth.
Right.
Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see if the city council, that if you ask me, I would characterize it as they got a little skittish. That's the most polite way I can say about it, the sit lie ordinance.
Yeah.
And said, I remember the quote, and maybe it's unfair of me to attach so much to one quote, but it was like, well, we fear the perception that we're not being compassionate. Well, are you compassionate? Because I think you are. So, you know, you still have to make the hard decisions.
Yeah.
Without worrying about whether or not it's going to be perceived. Perceived. Don't make a decision on how it's perceived. Make the right decision. So they back off the sit line.
I like that one. Yeah. I'm going to remember that quote from Brent DeHart.
Thank you. So
make the right decision.
They back off the sit lie ordinance, and it backfires. And if this persists, then we're going to be looking at a situation where they're going to have to revisit it. They're going to have to come up again. So
it comes up all the time in Portland, for sure.
Lots of interesting things happening in city council, and the races shaping up. We've been talking about it a little bit. Of course, Kara Kaser is not running again. There's two people now running in Ward 1, which we'll talk about in future shows. One person running Ward 3, but I would almost guarantee you we'll get two, and that'll be a contested race. Ward 5. Five, we may have one stated candidate for the time being, and Ward 7 is already a contested race. So,
yeah.
Wow, it's going to be kind of exciting. And last thing here, I want to shout out to some of the people that put their names out forward to be appointed to boards and commissions.
Okay.
And one of them got appointed to the aviation board, Kat Pence, and a lot of good names here, but this was on the agenda yesterday. Human Rights Commission, we have one of those. Four people were appointed. Historic Landmarks Commission, three people were appointed. Center 50 Plus, that has its own advisory commission. Airport, and so forth. If you're looking a way to plug in and make a difference in the community, that's where I want you to start. Neighborhood Association and Boards and Commissions.
Right.
Neighborhood Association and Boards and Commissions. If you think the government is not acting rationally, properly, prudently, then we got to get you in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks to all of you that stood up. I know a few of you, and congratulations on your appointment. Let's do this tomorrow.
With Wednesdays with Denise at the Ag Show. See you.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.